Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Luke's English podcast is sponsored by iTalki, which is a fantastic solution if you're looking for a one-to-one teacher to help you improve your spoken English, maybe your pronunciation, your grammar, or to prepare you for specific things like job interview situations or exams. There are loads and loads of one-to-one teachers available on iTalki. They come from lots of different countries, including the UK, Ireland, America, Canada, Australia, and all sorts of places like that. And you can just sort of like search for teachers that specialize in certain things. It's extremely professionally done and very easy to book time with someone online these days. And when you do find someone and you buy some talking time, iTalki will then send you a voucher for a free lesson because you listen to this podcast. To get that offer, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or click an iTalki logo on my website. And just before we go to the jingle, here's another reminder for any Lepsters in London. There is a London Lepster meetup happening on Saturday. That's this Saturday, the 28th of September 2019, at the Fitzroy Tavern, 16 Charlotte Street, Fitzrovia, London, W1T2LY, at 6 p.m. That's the London Lepster meeting, 6 p.m. Saturday at the Fitzroy Tavern in London. Go down there, have fun, play games, chat and meet and make friends with some like-minded nice people, and that would be good. Okay, good. Now, right, so here's the jingle starting right now. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, dear listeners. How are you today? I hope you're doing really, really, really well. Here's an episode with Paul all about the subject of advertising and sales, with a bit of marketing thrown in there too. This is a language-focused episode looking at words and phrases that you often see and hear in advertising and sales situations. It also includes discussion of sales techniques, Apple's sales and marketing strategy, and also a classic bit of stand-up by the late, great George Carlin. The episode starts with a discussion between Paul and me about Paul's experiences of working in sales jobs at Apple, including selling their products to customers on the shop floor, and how Apple markets its products to people. Then we go through a big list of words and phrases relating to sales situations in various ways, including the typical things you might read on packaging, advertising, or sales material. The list is pretty long, but it all leads up to the comedy sketch at the end, which includes all the phrases. That comedy bit, by the way, does contain some very rude language, so there's a heads up if that's not your cup of tea. So get your vocabulary learning hat on for this episode, and also let's get stuck into the topic of sales and advertising with Paul. Okay then, Paul.
Well, mate.
Welcome back.
Yeah.
So I thought for this one what we'd do is talk about a certain topic.
Okay.
And I've got some words and phrases that relate to the topic that we can go through. And then there's a little stand-up bit by George Carlin.
Nice.
At the end as well.
Right.
Right. So the topic is sales and advertising. Random.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
Random choice. Sales and advertising.
Mm.
So we're talking about things like selling, right?
And advertising.
And advertising stuff. Though we're talking about selling things. So I thought, first of all, we talk about sales, talk about advertising, marketing, stuff like that.
Yes.
And then we'll go into all these phrases, and then we'll check out this bit of stand-up.
All right.
So have you ever worked in sales? Have you ever worked in a sales job?
Yeah. And marketing. Well, in the sense that I work for Apple.
Long-term listeners of the podcast. What did you actually do?
Multiple things. I started off as a salesperson in the store. Then I did more customer service stuff in the store. Then I became a trainer. I would teach people, teach customers how to use the stuff.
Teach the customers?
Store. Yeah, I would teach customers how to use their iPhones, iPads, Macs, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I moved into training the employees. So I would then teach the employees how to do the stuff that I'd done.
Teach the employees how to teach the customers.
Correct. Then I then it just became like this unending ladder of... Then I became the trainer of the trainers who trained. It was like Inception, but at
training.
Apple. Yeah, exactly. Yes, to answer the question, I was a salesperson. They call them specialists. At Apple.
So that's sort of in the early days. You were there on the shop floor.
Exactly.
Meeting customers.
Yeah.
Did you used to say, can I help you at all?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. And I used to all say, fuck off. Just looking.
I'm just looking is,
I'm
the,
just looking.
Is the answer to that question.
In England anyway, yeah.
I see.
Whereas in America, they're like, oh my God, yes.
Really?
Yeah, people in England, we hate interactions with other humans.
Mm-hmm.
So,
can I help you at all? No, I'm just looking. Yeah. Thanks.
And even before, it got so funny that I'd be like, I would just say hello there,
hello there,
and they'd go no thanks, and I'd be like, I'm not. No, I was just hi. How are you? Yeah. No thanks. They're so used to, in England, we're so used to salespeople in shops coming up and being like, can I help you with anything? When you change, that we're so automatic, it's like a Pavlovian thing where we just go, no, I'm just looking, thanks.
Hello
no,
there, thanks. I'm just looking, thanks. All right.
Yeah.
So you were on the shop floor with the customers.
Yeah.
Were you encouraged at Apple to actually sort of push for a sale in those situations?
No, not really. There wasn't a culture of upselling. Which there are in some companies. There were certain things, and I don't even really know why, honestly. There were certain things that were encouraged, or that we had to talk about. When we were selling a Mac, for example, we would always mention AppleCare, which is like the extended warranty that Apple does. There were three things at the time. This is going to date stuff. There was AppleCare, which still exists. There was a thing called one-to-one, which was where it was a membership to the store where you come in. I think it would cost 100 euros or 99 pounds or 99 euros or 99.
It's always 99, never 100.
Exactly. And you would basically pay 99, whatever it was, a year, and you could come into the store and learn how to use your stuff.
Yeah.
So that was another thing that we were encouraged to offer or to speak about. Okay. And the third thing at the time was a thing called .Mac, which is now iCloud, which is free. But at the time, it was a thing you had to pay for, and it had different services. So there were three sort of things that, and they were we used to call them attachments.
Yeah.
And they were things that you would get at the end of the year, whatever, and you did your annual review, you'd kind of get measured on.
So just give me an example of how you would actually talk about those. What did you call them?
Attachments. They're like things
in a sale situation. So I'm like, hello. So you come up to me and say, hello, can I help you?
Yeah.
And I say, yeah.
Often the thing was like, yeah, what's better? Why is this better than what's the difference between this and a PC? That was a classic question.
Yeah. Okay. I'd like to buy a new laptop. Yeah. What's the difference between this MacBook and just a normal PC?
It's shit. Go to Samsung. I don't care. No, I'd go through like the reasons why I bought a Mac, which were legitimate reasons, because like 6 months prior to doing that, I bought my first Mac and I loved it so much. I was like, great, part-time job talking about stuff, the thing that I really like, easy. I'd just walk through. I'd basically go through the things that blew my mind initially when I was like, you know, if you want to do this, one of the things I'd always show, there was a suggested like 2 minute thing that we'd take them through, like a 2 minute ride or whatever, that would take them through how easy it was to drag and drop photos into a Word document, which you couldn't do on PCs at the time.
Right.
The expose thing where you four finger swipe up on a trackpad to see all the different windows all open and you could choose that. That now is bog standard, but back in the day, like PCs didn't do that. There was a whole antivirus thing of like, you don't need an antivirus because you don't get viruses on Macs, all that kind of stuff. And then for the add-ons sort of thing, you'd ask open-ended questions like, oh, you know,
do it with me now. So okay, I'd like to buy this Mac then. Oh, big decision, but I think you've convinced me.
Yeah,
especially that thing where I could see all the windows open at the same time.
Yeah, it's
definitely
cool.
Worth an extra £500.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
Really cool. So, okay. So, I'd like to take it then, please.
Yeah. And do you mind if I ask you some more questions, you know, to better understand?
Do you have to?
Yeah.
Go on then. Go on.
Have you thought about how to protect your Mac?
Yeah. I'll just fight anyone who tries to take it.
Perfect. All right. Well
no, I haven't actually. But I mean, like, yeah, do I need to get like antivirus software?
You don't need any antivirus stuff.
Because this is a Mac.
Because this is a Mac, as we've just talked about. Yeah. There's nothing really going to happen with the software. You're fine with the antivirus stuff. It's more in terms of the hardware. It comes with a standard 1-year warranty. So if anything goes wrong, you can come back to the store. We've got a service area called the Genius Bar where you can come and speak to people, actual real people, not just send it off.
Are they actual geniuses?
They're actual geniuses. They're amazing.
Their IQ level has been checked.
Mate, they've been checked. They went to Cambridge. They did all of the things. Amazing.
They studied Apple Macs at Cambridge.
Geniuses.
Did a master's degree in the MacBook Pro.
Yeah. And they fix your stuff basically. Okay. So that's standard for a year.
Okay.
We've got a thing called Apple Care, which is an extended version of that, essentially, which it's £250 on top of the price.
But it's a small price to pay for peace of mind, isn't it, Paul?
Yeah, basically. I mean, if you look at it in the way that, like, you know, if you divide it up by the amount of days, you know, for 3 years, you're spending about £2 a day, or even less than that. So it's like the equivalent of buying a coffee.
And if you spill that coffee on your Mac,
then you're fucked.
Well, no, because
it's not accidental damage. It covers, like, if it's our fault, we fix it for free. If it's your fault, then we fix it, but you should have to pay for it.
It's not going to be your fault, though, is it? Because Macs are designed not to go wrong.
Oh, they are designed not to go wrong, but sometimes they do. Because that's, you know, they're made in a factory, and so sometimes the components... But, you know, it doesn't happen, but it's just...
I'll think about it.
All right.
I'll think about it. But
you've got 30 days to make up to Or it's 6 months. I can't remember what the time was, but you've got a certain amount of time to subscribe.
Right. Do you feel like selling Apple products was sort of different to selling other products?
I don't know if it was different. It depends on.
Do you think it was easier?
Well, it was easy for me because I enjoyed using the stuff. So it was very easy for me to talk about and sell stuff that I use myself.
Yeah.
At the time, I wouldn't have been able to like work at Windows or anything because I hated using my PC.
Okay.
I've always hated using PCs or Windows, the operating system, and also PCs in general, just because they never worked. I always had like towers that you'd buy, and then like the graphics card wasn't good enough for the games I wanted to play, or it was just nothing ever worked.
Too. It was a problem.
Just installing it's like antivirus, Norton antivirus, McAfee, whatever the thing. It would just drive me nuts. And honestly, like I got a Mac, and within 6 months, I was like, why? How have I not known about this before?
These days, obviously, you can, if you're clever, you can build your own PC, and they're amazing.
Oh yeah,
but
building your if you want performance, really, and less price, building your PC is definitely the thing that you want to do. Yeah. The only advantage, really, is that Apple make the hardware and they make the software, so they know how the software they know how to optimize the software.
Yeah, that
to the hardware. Whereas that thing is how streams are crossing.
The microphone is crackling again. You need to try and put it on the table to make sure it doesn't drape down or dangle down.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, good work.
Just drop my phone on the floor.
And drape your phone down.
Yeah. All right. But going back to sales and advertising, right? In your experience of selling stuff, did you find specific techniques that worked? When you're training those people, what are you training them to do? I mean, are there special techniques or
it wasn't really techniques. I don't know what's going on.
I'll tell you what. Hold on. I'll pause the podcast. Okay, unpause. Trying to just prevent Paul's microphone from making crackling noises. So anyway, specific...
Techniques. The training that we had that I received when I joined the company, and it was always the same training that we would deliver afterwards to the employees, was like, be yourself and have a conversation with somebody. Don't force... It wasn't about selling. It was about just informing people. Mm-hmm. And I know that for a fact is different to other companies, because when we used to hire people, I mean, that was my first job in retail, so I didn't have anything to compare it to. But then when I started delivering training sessions to other people who'd worked in other retailers, it was very different. Yeah.
Okay.
It was more about who you are as a person rather than your knowledge of the product.
Right. I see.
And it was more about, getting them in the right solution. It was almost, a typical thing would be like a granny would come in and want like a 17-inch MacBook Pro spec'd out, fully loaded. And most other retailers would be like, oh, they'd be rubbing their hands. They'd be like, oh, you should get this and get this and get this. Whereas for us, it was more like, cool, like, can I ask you some questions about why you want to, why you want that specific product? And then she'd be like, oh, because my grandson told me to get this one. And we're like, great. And so what kind of things are you going to be doing on it? Oh, emails, internet, great.
Right.
Have you seen the other MacBooks that we have that are about half the price that you don't need a MacBook Pro to be going on the internet? And then often downselling, because I think Apple's philosophy was like, if you be honest with people and if you downsell them in the sense that you give them what you want, what they need, then they come back more often as repeat customers. It's on the day you earn less money, but in the long term you reap the benefits, because people are like, oh, that guy in the Apple store, like, he wasn't like the guy in PC World that was trying to ram everything down my throat. The virus that's €30, the extension of the warranty, this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go in with them. People go into a shop with a price in mind. They go, oh, it's $9.99. That's how much they want to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's definitely psychological techniques that you can use.
A lot of that stuff at Apple was about kind of helping people to get the right thing that they want.
Yep.
Maybe for selling computers, that's the sort of thing that you can do it like that, because, you know, it's often a more complicated solution.
Yeah.
What about Apple's sort of marketing? The way that Apple,
unbelievable,
it sort of shows itself to the world. Yeah. How do they get, how does their marketing work then?
For me, they still nowadays, it's still some of the strongest marketing that there is in terms of the adverts. Like, they were the first company ever to have an advert for a product without the product in it. It was the original Macintosh in 1984, when they had an advert that ran once on TV, and it ran during the Super Bowl in 1984, when basically it was kind of a play on George Orwell, 1984, where there's a bunch of people, like robots, sitting in, and there's a woman that runs in with a big sledgehammer, throws it against the screen, and there was a big text afterwards. It was like the end of the thing was like, we'll show you why 1984 won't be like 1984. And there was no sign of the product. The product wasn't in the if you want the exact description of what they do, or a description of a really well, somebody who puts it really well is a guy called Simon Sinek.
Yeah.
Who has a video. It's a TED talk from ages ago, from probably 2006 or seven. And the talk is called, start with the why.
Okay. Yeah.
And to sum up what Apple does compared to other companies and why they do it better is he goes on to say that he wrote a book basically about this whole thing, and basically says that most companies start with it is the why, what, and how.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that most companies, they know what they do, right? They sell computers, right? Or they sell scissors, or whatever the thing is that they're selling. That's what they do. Some companies know how they do that, because they make the best processor, because they make the best car, they make the best whatever. But a few companies know why they do what they do. And his whole thing, he compares Apple to Martin Luther King, to the Wright brothers, who all had the same access to the same talent. Martin Luther King wasn't the only person who was fighting for civil rights, but why was it that he, in a world where there was no TV, no advertising, none of this stuff, managed to gather 250,000 people in the same spot? And it was because people buy why you do what you do, essentially.
Mm.
And so Apple would never, in an advert, if you watched Apple adverts today, there's no specs.
Specs?
Specifications. There's no, like, buy this computer, X Intel whatever processor.
Ding. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, exactly.
Get that.
32 gigabytes of RAM. Like, it's just, you see the product and you see how it's used.
Yeah.
And that's what sells it. And now you see the Samsungs and the other companies doing the same adverts with some cool music.
But also they're sort of selling a lifestyle, aren't they? A kind of an uncluttered, simple, yet effective, efficient lifestyle. Yeah. 2 or something like
that.
Yeah,
I mean, the design was very minimalistic, thanks to Johnny Ive, who was the designer since, I think, 92 or something, mm-hmm. When Steve Jobs came back. And anyway, it was just, yeah, it was, it, they're, I mean, they're selling, not even selling a lifestyle, they're just like, here's what we believe. We believe that life should be easy, that user interface should be intuitive, that this, that, and the other, this is what we believe. And here's our product that, right. that goes with it, essentially. Whereas, right. I mean, even, you know, you look, I still look at PCs now, and I think, oh, not even PCs, like this thing that you've got here, what's that?
It's a light.
Right? If you look at this light that's attached here, like there's these extra holes and extra bits of plastic yeah. that have got no reason.
To describe this light, it looks a bit like a very small widescreen TV. It's a made in China LED video light that's supposed to give me more light when I do my videos.
Yeah.
On the one side, it's just white plastic. But that's where the light comes from. And on the back, so there are various little buttons and plugs and knobs, but also extra peripheral designs.
Yeah.
That
of like vents. I mean, there's no fan in there. So why are there vents?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you look at other products. I mean, it's a similar thing with Tesla, you know, Tesla, the car company.
Yeah.
And you look at other cars, and Tesla, I mean, they've often been described as the Apple of cars. But there's just, I think there's a very interesting design philosophy behind what Johnny Ive did, who was inspired by Braun, the German household house appliances, because it was very minimalistic, and the I can't remember the phrase exactly, but it's something to do with like it's simple, but it's not easy, sort of thing. Like in the right. sense that, like, you know, your iPhone has got 2 buttons, but there's nothing extra. There's no extra design on it. There's no extra holes or extra things on the Mac. You know, it's all rounded edges, and the angle of that is the same angle that's on the trackpad, which is the same angle that was on the iPod, which is the same angle that's on the iPhone.
Yeah. A certain consistent sort of minimalism.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. It's very interesting. Let me just ask you a couple of other questions on this similar subject.
Yeah.
Do you have to sell anything in any way in your life now? Do you feel like you're applying any of the so-called rules of advertising and sales to what you're doing now?
To myself.
How?
Like I'm selling myself on stage.
When you go on stage.
Like when I'm, I guess I'm kind of using what I learned at Apple-ish to sell my show, to be like, hey, come and watch come and give me money to watch me talk.
But I'm not talking about when you're on stage and you're selling yourself to the audience there.
No, I mean like behind the scenes. Like if I'm on social media.
Let's say you want to get punters into your room.
Yeah.
You want to get people to come and see your show.
Yeah.
So what are the methods you're applying to get people to come to see your show?
Well, there's a couple. It depends depends on the situation. Like there's one way is by recording bits of my show and putting that out on social media.
Let me stop you right there. Yeah. So if you've recorded a clip from your Franglais show, you put it up on YouTube.
Yes.
How do you choose the title of the video?
It's got to be, nowadays, the stuff that works is kind of a controversial title.
For example,
French people don't know how to count.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Which is one of my bits in my previous show, the fact that French people can't count. They say 15 days instead of 14. I've got some other bits around that idea of counting.
Yeah.
That's
kind of like, I mean, it's a dirty word, but it's a sort of applying the rules of clickbait, isn't it?
A little bit, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a more shareable. I think what worked with What the Fuck was that the show was called What the Fuck France. So straight away, people were like, oh, what's this bastard got to say about us?
Yeah.
And then eventually in the content, they were like, yeah, it's a fair point.
Yeah.
But for titles, I mean, so now social media is very focused, specifically like YouTube, you know, it's very focused on thumbnails and titles. Like you need to have a title. Before, clickbaity titles would work, just clickbaitable titles, you know, that
for
were just
example.
Like, oh, I opened this box and you'll never guess what happened next.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing for a while. And now that's disappeared a little bit because often the content didn't match the title.
Yeah.
So now you've still got to find like a clickable and shareable title that will draw your attention, but the content matches.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, here's like, for example, if I said, here's why kissing in France is a pain in the ass. you know, it's like it's a shock title. Mm-hmm. And then it's me talking about the fact that to say hello.
Yeah, you've got a kiss in all these different ways.
Yeah, so and so that's social media. Then there's advertising in the metro. Like if I make a poster, uh-huh. the poster has got to be an enticing poster for the show. The title of the show, if it's in the metro, you know, it's got to be like, oh, it's got to stand out from all the other posters. Mm. So, yeah, there's a lot of sales and marketing that go on in comedy outside of... It was the same thing with us when we did our show.
Yeah.
Sorry, We're English. The title is amazing. Maybe less so in France.
Tom Stade, you know, the Canadian comedian.
Yeah.
When he was here and I told him about our show. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, it's called Sorry, We're English. He was like, Sorry, We're English. It should be called Fuck You, We're English.
Yeah, because that would be a good title as well.
Fuck You, We're English.
And then the poster of me with a beer, you with a cup of tea, or I can't remember.
Yeah, I had the tea, you had the beer.
Yeah, and it was a good, mm-hmm. whereas most people who do 30-30 shows, like 30 minutes and 30 minutes, a lot of people do that when they don't have yet an hour, hours worth of content. They struggle to sell because it's just like, oh, 30-30 with these two unknown comedians.
Yeah. A lot of people came to our show because they thought we were on stage at the same time.
Correct, yeah. That's because we're in France.
Yeah, and that's what happens in France.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, we could talk more about clickbait and stuff. I've got some examples of clickbait. I mean, quickly do that. You know, listeners, those articles you see on the internet where they have a title like this. Man tries to hug a wild lion. You won't believe what happens next.
Yeah.
Accompanied by a picture of a man with a lion. And
those kind of titles were good. They were massive like 3-4 years ago, and now they've stopped a little bit.
See them less these days. I mean, when they have a list, for example, and they 15 tweets that sum up married life perfectly, and then they say number 13 is hilarious, and you have to check it out. And every single reason is on a different page. So they can put more advertising
on it. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So that's clickbait, all right. And so it falls into the same kind of area as advertising. And
well, I mean, if you look at... Yeah, I mean, almost, that's exactly what it is. If I look at my vlogs on YouTube, right, which... Most of which are behind the scenes of comedy, what it's like to be a comedian. And in some of them, the title... It's all about the title, and the actual production quality of the video is shite. But it's one of my most viewed videos is the title is just getting married in France.
Yeah,
and
there's a picture of you with your wedding suit on.
Exactly, and that's my most viewed video on my channel.
Yeah.
But the video it's not great. I mean, it's not that amazing. But people have clicked on it. My other one is London versus Paris.
Yeah.
So clearly, people type that in. You know, I think the thing on YouTube specifically with advertising that works is what's searchable. You know, what do people search for when they type in a video on YouTube? And they go, you know, often it's tips like 15 photography tips.
They
get millions of views. Those kind of things.
Similarly for learners of English, I mean, like. There are lots of YouTube channels now that are doing very well, getting lots of views from learners of English, and they could easily use lots of
clickbait.
Learners British accent in these 5 simple steps.
Exactly. I learned 9 languages in 2 months. Here's how.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Like what one of them was that I got, which is how to learn a language.
Yeah.
Which is one of the top viewed videos that I have, which is me on a beach in Barcelona on my holiday.
It's good. Good video.
Talking about the accent sort of thing.
I used that once in class.
Did you?
Students didn't understand anything you said. But they were quite low level students.
Right.
I mean, you see also this kind of use of language, which is persuasive and stuff in other ways. I mean, more traditionally in advertising in shop windows and stuff.
Yeah.
And you get things like, you know, books from £2.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's slightly misleading. You know, big book sale, books from £2. That means that there's maybe one or two books that are £2.
Yeah.
£2 is the starting price.
Yeah.
The other books are probably more expensive.
Yeah.
And also massive discounts, up to 90% off.
Yeah.
Up to
90%
off.
There's one item that's got... Well, it was a similar thing. We bought a car recently.
Yes.
A Mini.
Mm-hmm.
And in the brochure... That Mini give you, the model that I got, which is the Mini Cooper. There's like the Mini One, there's the Mini Cooper, and the Mini Cooper S. They're the 3 models that you can get, and the Mini Cooper was something like from 330 euros per month.
Yes.
It ends up being 500 euros per month once you've added, once it's like, cool, well, yeah, I'd quite like CarPlay. I quite like my iPhone to be on the thing with the Bluetooth. Cool, that's an extra however much it is. Yeah. The wheels, you know, the different rims.
If you want the wheels to go around, you've got to pay an extra £100 a month.
Exactly. If you want the automatic gearbox instead of the manual gearbox, that's an extra couple of thousand.
Right.
So it's always from, but no, you never end up just with that model.
Yeah.
Or with that, you never end up with just that thing.
From £300, it just basically means this is going to be more than £300 is what that means.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. And the other thing is in advertising sometimes, when it's large numbers, when the prices are quite high, so let's say it's £399, they all say £399.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
This three-piece living room suite, now only £399.
Was £799, now £399.
Like it's £399. Don't say £399, like that's going to trick me.
Yeah, I don't know if that's... I mean, people still use that, like...
That
instead
works.
Of saying 400, they say three. I don't know if that still works. I think people... I think that maybe worked initially for like a decade or two.
Still doing it, man.
They're still doing it, but I don't know if it's...
It must work.
I don't know.
Calling it £399 instead of £399 and 300...
That might... Maybe, but it being £399 instead of £400.
Still definitely must work.
I don't know. I think it's old psychology. And people have just gone with it and they're like, oh, because if you say it's £399, people psychologically will say that it's less than £400. I don't know if that's the case anymore. I think people are intelligent enough to just, but it's stayed. It's a technique that's stayed.
It's just with us now. We can't do anything about it, can we? Okay. Now, what I've got, so I don't know if you know this stand-up routine by George Carlin. You know who he is, obviously.
Yeah, but I don't know a lot of his work, so I probably don't know this bit.
So, listeners, if you're not aware, George Carlin was a great American stand-up comedian and one of the kind of the main guys, one of the forefathers, one of the creators of stand-up as we know it today. Mm-hmm. Him and Richard Pryor, basically in the 70s, sort of just went off and did their own thing. And it was very much part of the counterculture movement that was going on in the late 60s and stuff. And they just, you know, created a form of stand-up that so many other people have followed ever since. So George Carlin is a huge figure in stand-up comedy, especially for the Americans. And especially as he got older, he became more and more angry and more disillusioned with consumerist capitalist culture in America.
Towards the end, some of the clips that I've heard, like, it's not comedy, it's preaching, basically.
He's ranting
and it's making a lot of sense, but there's not necessarily a lot of laughs, which is interesting.
So this is something called the Advertising Lullaby. Okay, this is from the Advertising Lullaby, which is a sort of a piece that he used to do. He called it a lullaby because that's what advertising is supposed to do. It's kind of supposed to lull you to sleep, is his point of view. But anyway, in the Advertising Lullaby, I think it's amazing because he includes so many of those typical sales phrases that you've heard over the years in advertising and stuff like that. Almost every single one is put together in this incredible stream of consciousness monologue in which he uses all of the phrases.
And maybe I have heard this.
One of the most amazing things for me is the way that he does it all from memory. And it all flows so perfectly and fluidly from memory. So what we're going to do is we will listen to that. But first, I've actually got a list of all the phrases that he uses.
Okay.
So what we can do is go through the list of phrases. There's quite a lot. Mm. And very quickly, we just need to say whether these things are positive or negative. Mm-hmm. And then just... Briefly.
On whose side? For a consumer?
From the consumer's point of view, are these phrases positive or negative for the sale?
Yeah.
And maybe briefly why we might need to explain what they mean. So we'll start with this one. All sales are final. All sales are final.
It's negative, I'd say, for the consumer because it means if you buy the thing, then you can't return it.
Exactly, yeah. And that's typically used in things like sort of those sales where they've got like B stock and they're trying to get rid of their stock.
Yeah.
So like clothing at the end,
at the end of the season. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of a season, clothing might be sold off in a private sale or something like that. And so all sales are final means that you can't come back and get a refund or get a return. So it's kind of negative. All sales are final. Allow 6 weeks for delivery. basically negative.
Yeah, I mean, it means that, I mean, 6 weeks is a long time for delivery.
Yeah, it's going to take 6 weeks to be delivered. Allow 6 weeks for delivery. It's basically
might come
negative.
Before, but...
It probably is going to take 6 weeks. So that's negative. Authentic. Authentic.
I mean, on the surface, it sounds positive.
It does, doesn't it? If something is authentic, it means it's real. It's mm-hmm. true. It's the real thing. Mm. But the word authentic comes up everywhere.
Yeah.
I bought a pair of shorts, cheap shorts. I was in Brighton doing the Fringe Comedy Festival, and it was boiling hot. I needed to buy some shorts. I went into like a cheapo clothing shop, and I bought these shorts. And it was like, you know, sort of like those Gap style khaki shorts or whatever.
Yeah.
And there are several labels on it. And one of the labels just said authentic.
That's it.
I was like, oh, so they're definitely shorts. You know,
they're not fake.
They're authentic shorts. They're real. You know, an authentic you see written on underpants, jeans, t-shirts.
Yeah.
Everything is authentic now.
Yeah.
Meaning it's real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But authentic shorts, like
authentic leather.
Of course they're authentic shorts.
Yeah.
No purchase necessary.
Yeah, I never understood that. It's that's normally I've only ever seen that when you enter a competition.
Yeah.
I remember my first asking this question when I saw a packet of crisps in mm-hmm. England,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a Walker's packet of crisps, and you had to collect a certain amount of tokens or whatever that were inside the packets. There was like these things that you would open up,
yeah,
but it would say no purchase necessary, and I never understood why.
Yeah. There is a legal loophole. So yeah, if you buy like a packet of cereal, and there's a competition on the back,
yeah,
and there's a cutout. There's a form that you need to fill in to win the competition. You have to cut it out and send it. And it says no purchase necessary.
Yeah.
So the thing is that there's a law which says that you can't ask people entering the competition to buy something as a means of entry.
Right.
Buying the thing can't be a condition of entering the competition.
But it is.
They should be. But yeah.
What are they going to do? Go to the supermarket and cut it out with the scissors?
Practically it is, because you need to buy the thing in order to get the thing to do it.
Exactly.
But in theory, you'd be able to write off to the address without needing...
And get a refund.
I don't know. Just write off. Yeah, I don't know. Write off to the address that you've copied from the back of the packet.
Yeah.
But anyway, no purchase necessary.
Oh, God.
It's supposed to be... I mean, it's written as a legal loophole, but it's basically... positive, because it basically means you don't need to buy the product to enter the competition. Next one is batteries not included.
Hey, classic.
Batteries not included.
That's the worst at Christmas.
Yeah.
That's the classic thing of when your dad buys you a robot toy for Christmas and the batteries are not included. Christmas Day, everything's shut, so you can't play with your toy.
So it's bad because there are no batteries. Yeah. Classic. Classic.
These classic denim jeans.
Yeah. These, you know, buy our classic regular cut denim jeans now from just $14.99 a pair.
Yeah.
So classic is positive, right? It means
like
old but good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Convenient. It's obviously positive, isn't it? It makes life easy.
Mm.
Economy is a word which probably suggests this, you're going to be able to save money.
Mm-hmm.
Custom made.
Yeah, that's usually good.
Positive, because it means they've made it specifically for you.
Uh-huh.
Deluxe.
That's good.
Means it's kind of high quality.
Yeah,
you would think. Designer.
Well, because I've just understood that's from French.
Yes.
Deluxe of luxury.
Yes. Did you know? I had the idea. I realized recently that for French people, when I tell them the name of my podcast, they might get it wrong. They might think it's the Luxury English Podcast, because the name of my podcast is Luke's English Podcast.
Luke's. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So Luke's in French means
luxury.
Uh-huh. So I sometimes wonder if they think, oh, he's arrogant. Yeah. Listen to him calling it the Luke's English Podcast. Right. Deluxe.
C'est une marque de luxe. It's a luxury brand.
Deluxe then basically means, wait a minute. Yeah, high quality. Yeah, luxury quality. Yes. Next. Designer.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
It's been designed by someone.
A designer, yeah.
But we associate it with...
You would say, yeah, designer brands.
Yeah.
Like, means like Chanel.
Those French brands.
Exactly, that, yeah.
I have no time for. Each item sold separately. Don't really know how that fits into something, but each item sold separately. Well, it just...
Here's what it is. It would be the equivalent of having a photo of your iPhone, of an iPhone on a coffee table with a case around it, the charging cable, and some wireless headphones all in the same thing. And then there'll be a little asterisk saying each item sold separately, which means that you need to buy the phone, the case, the thing, all separately.
Exactly.
That if you don't...
Even though they've advertised it, it looks like you're buying all of that at the same time. And in fact, you have to buy them individually.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's going to be more expensive. Easy terms.
Yeah, it means that the terms and conditions are easy, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Affordable prices.
Yeah, that's good.
It also means it's cheap. Experience. So if you're talking about salespeople, then experience is obviously important because they know, if you know, talk to our experienced sales staff.
Yeah.
They'll help you find exactly the right product for you. Free installation.
Yeah.
Means they're going to
install it for free.
Free admission.
Oh, into it, like, yeah.
You can get in.
Yeah.
Admission, the admission price is the price to enter the thing. So free admission means you can enter free. Mm-hmm. Free appraisal.
Don't know what that means.
An appraisal is basically when someone establishes your needs or establishes... So an appraisal at work is when your boss talks to you about...
Yeah, about your yearly appraisal.
Your strengths and weaknesses.
Performance appraisal.
An assessment. Performance assessment.
Right. Would that be used for cars? Like if you get a free assessment?
Free appraisal. Free appraisal could be that someone will kind of assess your car and see whether how it's going. Free appraisal. Free alterations.
Free alterations. I wish I had that when I bought my Levi's jeans the other day.
Right.
I bought some Levi's jeans and my legs are short. I've got short legs. So my actual jean size is 30-30.
Yeah.
30 waist, 30 length. But all jeans are 32. If you're 30 waist or 31 waist or a 32 waist, obligatory it's 32 length.
Really?
So I was in Levi's. Uniqlo do free, what is it called? Alterations.
Free alterations.
Levi's, €12.
€12?
So on top of the €110 that I spent on the jean, I had to spend an extra €12 for them to cut off 2 inches.
Oh my God.
Bastards.
But Uniqlo, the Japanese clothing store, they do free alterations, which is just as well because all of, like, they don't do 32 size at Uniqlo.
Length. No, 34.
It's only 34.
Yeah.
So if I ever buy trousers at Uniqlo, I have to have them altered.
Yeah, and you have to come back.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
Free delivery, we understand. Free estimates. An estimate is like when, let's say, you get someone to come and repaint your kitchen. They'll come in, they'll have a look at it.
Go, oh, basically, what needs to be done here, is we need to paint over some of the cracks.
We're going to have to knock that wall through.
Knock that wall through. Do a bit of soldering here and there.
Yeah,
here's the estimate.
Give you a free estimate. It's going to cost you, you know, £900 or something. Free home trial.
Oh, it means that's a big thing with mattresses now. If you buy a new mattress, which we found out, because we bought a new mattress for the new house that we moved into, you have 100 nights for free to test it at home.
Okay.
And if you don't like it, you can take it back. But I mean, I don't know the logistics of...
Neither do I.
How do you send a mattress back? Does somebody collect it, or do you have to go to the post office with a double, a king size mattress?
God knows.
And pay the money to send it back.
No idea. Free returns? Don't know. Free home trial. So that's when you get to try the thing out at home.
Yeah.
Trial. Free parking. We know, of course. No cash, no problem. Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
Friendly service.
Yeah.
We know. Genuine.
Yeah.
Which is similar
genuine
to...
Genuine leather.
Yeah. Genuine is a bit like the other word that we had.
Which is, I've forgotten.
Authentic.
Authentic, that's a go.
Imitation.
Oh, that's the opposite.
Imitation leather.
Yeah.
That means it's not leather, but it's made to look like leather.
For all them vegans.
So imitation could be good if it's cheaper, but...
Or if it doesn't include animals, like imitation fur.
Yeah.
It means that you can buy a coat that has a fur hood to keep you warm, but if it's imitation, then it means we didn't kill coyotes.
Exactly. An imitation leather belt is a belt that's not actually made of leather, but it's made to look like it. Gourmet.
Gourmet, that's like deluxe for food.
Yeah. And they use it a lot in America, don't they? like, you know, gourmet coffee.
Yeah. Well, we've got there's a chain of restaurants. I don't know if they still exist in the UK called Gourmet Burger Kitchen, GBK.
Right, Gourmet Burger Kitchen for your gourmet burgers.
It's basically a £12 burger.
Right. I bet it's not that good.
No. High quality.
High quality is obvious. Hospitality.
Yeah, that's more for, I guess,
customer relations and stuff. The corporate.
Hotels.
Yeah.
Hospitality. You can buy hospitality packages. If you go to, I don't know, if you go if you go on holiday somewhere, if you get the hospitality package, you know, it's like the extra bit where you get welcomed. And
hospitality is basically the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers.
What's weird is that the word hospital is in there, so that's interesting. I just realised that the hospital, like where you go,
is in. So they look after you, basically.
Yeah.
So, you know, great hospitality at the hotel means that they're really looking after you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Low rates.
Low rates, normally for if you're taking a loan, if you're getting like a credit card, low rates.
Good, because we're talking about rates of
interest.
Interest. If you have to pay the money back, low rates of interest are good. Okay.
Or low exchange rate, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Leather. What's the difference between leather and leather style?
Well, leather style is probably imitation leather, and leather is probably genuine.
For example, a lovely...
Or as the Irish say, genuine.
Do they?
Yeah. Genuine.
A leather style...
I'm genuinely surprised.
Oh, yeah. Right. A leather style wallet would be a wallet that's not made of leather, but it looks like it.
Yes.
Okay. Limited time only.
Yeah, that's normally bad. Well, it's normally bad in the sense it's like, hey, come and buy this product for it used to be $5.99, now it's $3.99 for a limited time only.
And it's one of those phrases that's used by salespeople
to get people into the shops quicker.
To get that sense that you know it's not going to last forever. Yeah. You have to buy it now.
Yeah.
To avoid disappointment.
Exactly.
Limited time only. Mileage may vary. Standard phrase, but it only refers to cars.
Oh, yeah. It's probably to do with miles per gallon. Like when they announce a car and you sell a car or an advert, it'll say, oh, it does whatever it is, 400 miles per gallon.
Okay.
And then it says mileage may vary. That means that if you put your foot down and it'll, you know, if you drive like an idiot, then you'll get less miles per gallon.
Okay.
You'll get less mileage.
Okay.
I think.
Money back guarantee. It's positive.
Money back guarantee. It's positive, yeah. It's if you don't like it, then you can get your money back.
And that's guaranteed,
yeah,
as well. Name brands. It's a bit like designer brands.
Yeah.
No down payment.
Yeah, if you're buying a car that's quite expensive, let's say it's 20,000, you can buy it on a, if you buy it and you pay whatever it is per month, like we were paying, you know, €500 per month, mm-hmm. you don't need a down payment, which means you don't need to put a bigger sum of money to guarantee, which we did. We put it down. So we bought the Mini. It's €300 a month. It was either €500 a month.
Or 300.
Or like, 300 well, with a down payment.
Oh, I see. I thought it was like either €500 a month or €300 a month. Ooh, that is a difficult choice. I think we'll go for the €300.
So we went for 300 with a down payment because it's on the company, and because the company has only been around for a year and a half. Yeah. They're not the
cash flow.
Not the leasing company. Mm. The people that gave us the loan were like, cool, we trust you paying back 300 a month. We don't have enough financials on your side for us to guarantee that you can pay back 500 a month. So we need a down payment to...
I see. So it's more secure for them.
Yeah.
So you gave them a down payment.
Yeah.
But in some cases, there's no down payment necessary. They'll just accept the €500 a month or whatever from you. No entry fee.
That is what she said.
An entry fee, obviously, is money you have to pay to get in.
Yeah. That's like if we do free comedy shows. No entry fee.
No entry fee. That's right. Free admission. No fuss.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. No fuss means no hassle, no...
No inconvenient like stuff that you'd have to do. It's positive.
Yeah. It's like a no... It's, I guess, no fuss refund. It's like, hey, which is Apple's thing. You basically... You buy a thing, if you don't like it in 14 days, you can bring it back and there's no fuss. It is no like, oh, what's wrong? Oh, you've opened the box. Oh, you've...
You don't have to sign any documents. There's no claims that you have to make. It's just simple.
As long as it's in the same condition, you just go, I don't like it. And they go, okay, cool. Here's your money back.
No hidden charges.
No hidden charges.
That's good.
Sometimes it's great. Sometimes you buy stuff and then there's hidden charges because you didn't read the fine print.
Like you got to pay insurance or whatever. And it's like, oh, God, hidden charges. When you're buying plane tickets, flight tickets, there are loads of hidden charges.
Especially with the low-cost airlines. It's like, hey, fly to Spain for $9.99.
From $9.99.
Hidden charge of €30 for a baggage, €30 to pay by card, €30 just to be alive.
Exactly.
Final price, €2,000.
Next one is no kidding, which obviously we're serious.
Yeah.
No mess,
same
which is
thing.
A bit like no fuss.
No risk.
No risk, we understand. No obligation.
Yeah.
So you're not tied into some kind of agreement. No payments or interest until September.
Yeah.
So if you pay now, you buy it now.
You buy it now, you start paying in September.
Start paying in September.
We are in September, so that doesn't really work.
No purchase necessary. We've had that.
We've had that one.
No one will call on you. I quite like that.
Yeah.
Meaning that you won't get any hassle. There'll be no after sales shit where they're trying to...
Hi, we're just confirming that you enjoy our cousins.
We noticed that you bought a Mini, and would you be interested in buying any of our other small products?
Both my car insurance. There's the equivalent of Meerkats over here.
Meerkats.
Meerkat.com.
Find the Meerkat.com.
Yeah, which is a... Sergey.
No, wait. Is it find the market? It's comparethemarket.com. Comparethemarket.com.
Okay.
And they advertised in the UK, ladies and gents, by using meerkats, which are these like...
Russian.
Siberian?
Are they Siberian?
Or Kazakhstani?
I don't know.
They kind of speak with this Russian...
But here
accent.
They have the same thing. They call it the ferrets. Lesfurets.com. The ferrets.com.
Okay.
So you go on there, you can pay your insurance, and then you go to the thing. And then if you at any stage click off of that... Within 2 hours, you get a phone call from the insurer being like, oh, we've noticed that you went online to look at our insurance. Would you be shut the fuck up?
No red tape. This is a good one.
Yeah, red tape. I don't know where the expression comes from, but it generally means like administration problems.
Yeah, like paperwork and legal stuff. So red tape comes from the fact that back in the old days, in the legal areas of London, and in fact still today, legal documents are bound together with red ribbons, red tape.
Oh, okay.
So red tape is used to tie together pages of legal admin.
Yes, okay, yeah, because there's so many pages, you can't just staple it.
Yeah, so red tape now means bureaucracy, admin, paperwork. No red tape. Offer good while supplies last.
That's another one of limited time only.
Yeah.
Basically.
So the sale, this discount is on while we have the supplies.
Exactly.
So it's a limited time only. Order today. So that's one of those phrases. Order today to avoid disappointment.
Apple uses that. Like yesterday, they just announced all of their new stuff. And it was like, you can order from today.
Order now.
Order today.
Yeah.
Ships next week.
It's kind of a sales phrase. Performance. So, you know, a performance vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Like a performance car.
Yeah, performs.
But it's also considered to be high performance.
Yeah.
Like a performance sports car, you imagine, is like very well tuned and really, really high performance.
Yeah.
Premium.
Yeah.
Well, of course, it's used by everybody, meaning top quality.
Yeah.
Prestige. Ooh.
Oh, one of the things that made me laugh, I mean, it's in a similar vein, is a phrase in Bad Boys 1, the film with Will Smith and Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
In the first scene of the first film, they're driving in Will Smith's character's Mike Lowry, his Porsche, and Martin Lawrence is eating McDonald's or fast food in the passenger seat.
Right.
And Will Smith's character's like, dude, stop eating fucking McDonald's in here. You're going to spill it all over the place. And Martin Lawrence is like, yeah, well, is there a cup holder that I can put my cup? And Will Smith's like, dude, this is a limited edition fucking Porsche. And Martin Lawrence is like, yeah, damn right, it's a limited edition. It doesn't have a fucking cup holder.
Very limited.
Exactly. And there's that double sense of what limited edition means. Limited edition usually means that it's, you know, a special edition of the
only a few of them that were made.
Exactly.
But limited could also mean that there are lots of limitations.
Yeah.
Like if you describe a person as being limited, like I don't think we should give Paul the new job, but he's
A bit limited.
He's just a bit limited in that area. meaning imagine Paul is like some sort of idiot.
What's 2 + 2?
He's just a bit limited, isn't he, Paul?
A bit limited.
Okay. Prestige, though. Respect and admiration given to someone or something, usually because of a reputation for high quality, success, or social influence.
Yeah.
So someone of very high social standing.
One of my favourite films is called The Prestige.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan with Christian Bale.
Christian Bale.
What's his name? Hugh Jackman.
And Scarlett Johansson as well, isn't she?
Is she? Oh, yeah, she might be.
And who else is in that?
Michael Caine.
David Bowie is in there as well.
Oh, he is.
Playing the
Tesla.
Part of Nikola Tesla. Yeah.
And it's Michael Caine. Like, Michael Caine is
and
in
Michael
every,
Caine.
Every Chris Nolan film is Michael Caine.
What does he do in that? Is he? It sounds like he could be a sort of an Uncle Alfred.
He is basically
character.
Yeah, he's basically. I think he. I think he is like. Fuck. What's the word in English? Conseiller. Advisor. He's
advisor.
Christian Bale's advisor.
Really?
It's the same. They're playing the same role.
Exact same role. You know what? Did you know this? That recently I was teaching...
And no one knew who Michael Caine was.
I was teaching a class of students, and Michael Caine came up. I probably made an arse of myself. Probably doing my Michael Caine impression. And they all looked at me, and I was like, Michael Caine? And they were like, I was like, Michael Caine! Michael Caine! And I ended up showing them a photo of him on the whiteboard, and they were like, we don't know who he is. Like, you don't know who he is. Get out. You're all failed. You're all failed the class for not knowing.
It's unbelievable.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It's like teaching French and being like Gerard Depardieu. You're like,
Who?
Marion Cotillard. No, don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, prestige.
Yeah.
Quality.
Quality, mate.
We know savings is interesting because they often talk about savings when they're trying to make you pay, when they're trying to make you buy something. They talk about how much money you're going to save.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, like my wife says that to me. She's like, oh, I bought this dress. It was £300, but I bought it for 70.
Yeah.
I saved 230.
No, you didn't. You spent 70.
You just lost £70.
Exactly.
You didn't save money.
Especially if it's like buy two for the price of 1.5, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I bought this brand of biscuits because you were going to save. Well, no, because you weren't going to buy them anyway.
Right.
You just bought them because they were on offer.
Yeah. So it's like setting an arbitrary price and then setting a new price and convincing us that we've made money or somehow saved money.
Yeah.
It was like, you made up the fucking price in the first place.
Yeah.
And now you're trying to convince me that I've saved money by not paying the arbitrary price you came up with in the first place. Have you ever seen, do you know Adam and Joe? I think you are vaguely aware. Adam Buxton.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
And Joe Cornish. They used to be a double act and they used to do a TV show. And there's one very funny sketch that they did where they're going around a shop somewhere in London and they're like opening all the packets of like sweets and crisps and Ribena and stuff, and they're like taking the free 15% because Ribena, like soft drinks, so they'll be like, you know, now with 15% extra free.
Yeah.
And so like they're drinking 15% of the drink there, and the guys are like, what are you doing? Like, we're just, you know, it's free, isn't it? Look, it says free.
That's
and they're taking all the free stuff.
That's funny.
It's really good. Select, like this select Italian watch straps.
Yeah, it's another bullshit phrase for nothing.
They've been like carefully selected.
Uh-huh. Handpicked.
Yeah. Selection, we know, is a choice. Send no money. I don't know quite how that would work. Probably get rid of that one. Service. So we've talked about, customer service.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So act now.
Yeah.
Meaning, buy now to avoid disappointment. Some assembly required.
Yeah, that sounds like an advert for a toy. If you have a toy that's like a Lego and it's advertising, oh, the Lego Millennium Falcon. Some and then at the bottom, it would some assembly required.
Well, no, it would be a product that shouldn't really, you shouldn't need to assemble yourself.
Oh.
So it's like, you know, this new, what would it be? This new oven.
Mm-hmm.
Buy this new authentic.
Genuine.
Genuine select prestige oven.
Deluxe oven.
Asterisk, some assembly required. So you kind of need to build the oven yourself, which you shouldn't really need to do. Another one is some items not available. Well, that's clear. Some restrictions may apply.
Oh, yeah. That's often where I see that all the time on like mobile phone
contracts
where it's like, hey, free international calls. Some restrictions
may apply, which means you can't use this phone in the UK after the 31st of October. What about this one? Some contents may have settled during transit.
Oh, yeah, that's on food, where if you... thing that comes to mind is a package of cereal.
Yes.
So you've got a packet of cereal and you open the packet when you get home, half of it's empty because I'm sure at the factory it was filled up, but then in transit when you shake it, you know, the cereal breaks apart, and that's why you always end up with little tiny bits of cereal at the bottom when you finish with the packet.
But I mean, I think it's misleading, really. What contents may have settled during transit for me means is the box is this big. But the actual contents
is
this big. You get like 60% of what you expect you're going to get because contents may have settled during transit. You're trying to convince me that packet of cornflakes was completely full to the brim in the factory. I don't think so. Somehow
there was something I was going to get on Apple adverts when they like shot on an iPhone.
Yeah,
there's like a film that's been shot on an iPhone.
An amazing photo. In a massive poster in the center of the city.
And it's usually all right.
And it says shot on an iPhone.
Yeah,
they're okay. They're
normally okay, but it's more the videos. Like when they show off the video capability, I was trying to find it at the bottom. They say like additional accessories and applications used.
May have been used. Yeah.
Like because they've got an extra lens on the camera and they've used like an editing app that's not with the iPhone, so they put that kind of stuff.
Right, I see.
But like when you see on the website where it's like Pro the new iPhone 11 Pro, you know, that has connotations of like it's better. Do you know what I mean? Because it's the Pro. But yeah, Apple has all sorts of stuff like that where it says that last chance to save on a Mac. Up to $200.
Right. Save up to $200. That's great.
Yeah, on a Mac with education pricing. Like if you buy a Mac for college, you get up to $200.
And lots of references to power.
Yeah, believing. Yes, because that's all the Pro stuff. Believing is seeing. Yeah, they're quite good with their taglines.
Power of Mac.
The power of Mac taken further.
Get up to $1,400 towards a new Mac.
Yeah, with trade-in. Just give us your eligible Mac, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of this language actually
works.
Free
delivery and free returns.
So we've just basically got the word style and value, which, I mean, style we know. Value means that it's like a good value, meaning that the price is pretty low for the quality. And then we've got the phrase two to a customer, which suggests that...
That's a very Apple thing.
Is it?
Yeah, when a new iPhone gets released.
Mm-hmm.
It's two to a customer. So you can't buy more than two iPhones when a new one comes out because there was a big problem. I think it was when the iPhone 4 came out, there was a massive reseller problem because it was only available in certain countries to start with, notably not China and not Russia. Apple stores that were selling iPhones on launch day weren't filled. The queues weren't full of actual people who wanted to buy iPhones for themselves and fanboys and stuff. It was filled with Russian resellers and Chinese resellers who would just come in and buy like 50 or 100 iPhones to then resell them for twice the price in the countries that they weren't available. Yeah. So then very quickly they installed a two per customer.
Right.
And so now what they do is they just pay dudes 50 euros. Like, hey, I'm going to pay you 50 euros. You sit in the queue and buy two iPhones. You pay you 50 euros. And because they make about 500 euros per phone,
right,
the 50 euros that they pay that guy to stand in the queue, it's unreal.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So that's the list of phrases.
That's a fucking long list.
That is a long list. Now, as I said before, so this all comes from George Carlin's routine, which is about 2 minutes long.
Right.
And
I think now that we've gone through the words, I remember the bit. I don't remember it, but I remember. I know that I've seen it before.
Yeah. So I really, really like this. And as I said before, one of the impressive things about it is the way he remembers the entire thing and does it flawlessly. But listeners, I should say there is some very rude language at the end. I think I'm going to play it. I was thinking of cutting it off.
Yeah.
But I actually feel like cutting off the rude ending sort of doesn't really do the routine
justice. Yeah.
So I've made a decision, listeners, to keep the last bit in.
I like the YouTube warning. Warning.
This
clip contains coarse language. Viewer discretion advised.
So I'm saying that to you too, listeners. There's some very rude content at the end of this routine. So just about, probably about 2.5 minutes into
They're used to rude language.
But they don't mind. You can handle it, can't you, folks? You're all adults.
They fucking love it.
All right, then. So here is George Carlin. And listeners, you can watch out for all of those different things that we've just been through and just enjoy the amazing, impressive bit of stand-up that is George Carlin's advertising lullaby. Here we go.
This is called advertising lullaby. Keeping in mind, of course, that the whole purpose of advertising is to lull you to sleep. Quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantee, free installation. Free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem, no kidding. No fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden charges, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till September. But limited time only, though, so act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, two to a customer, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary, all sales are final, allow 6 weeks for delivery, some items not available, some assembly required, some restrictions may apply. So come on in. Come on in. Come on in for a free demonstration and a free consultation with our friendly professional staff. Our experienced and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection that's just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classic, deluxe, custom designer, luxury, prestige, high-quality, premium, select, gourmet pocket pencil sharpener. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. And if you act now, we'll include an extra added free complimentary bonus gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet combination key ring magnifying glass and garden hose in a genuine imitation leather style carrying case with authentic vinyl trim. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. Actually, it's our way of saying bend over just a little bit farther so we can stick this big advertising dick up your ass a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper. A little bit deeper. You miserable, no good fucking consumer asshole.
All right.
Great.
So, do you agree, just at the end here, do you agree with that idea that basically advertising is a bad, is a force for bad in the world, or not? Is it not as simple as that? What do you reckon? I get annoyed and frustrated every day by marketing and advertising.
Oh, yeah, totally. It drives me nuts.
But do you think that it's sort of, I feel like it's, I don't know how products would, like in terms of advertising, I guess it performs function.
I think it does
for
because
companies.
Yeah, I think it does as well, and for consumers because you don't necessarily know. I think the advantage is there's certain things that I wouldn't know about had I not seen the advert or had I not seen been exposed to the adverts of it. You know,
but for me, I just hate the way in which I know instantly as soon as I'm being exposed to the advertising, the marketing, that psychologically I'm being attacked from all sides, sort of, you know,
yeah,
like certain things about what make me human will make me interact with that advertising in a certain way, yeah, that I'm being psychologically manipulated.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
I really hate that. And the other thing I don't like about advertising is that advertising is everywhere. It's very pervasive. Like if you walk down the street, you get exposed to all these advertising images everywhere, which is kind of unfair because that's a public space and these companies are using these public spaces to kind of attack us. Whereas if someone has graffitied a mural on the wall, that's illegal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just interesting to me that's like a graffitied mural on the wall. Yeah. Is considered to be illegal, but like advertising, it's totally fine. But it's-
I think it's good when adverts end up being funny and they end up making you laugh or whatever. That can be fun.
I think because,
I mean, again, psychologically, they're potentially, you know, getting you to buy stuff or whatever. But it depends. It depends if they're well made and there's some adverts that I appreciate. I remember there was a period in the UK, probably about 2004-05. Where my mum and I, when we watched TV at home together, we would almost love watching the ads because they were so funny.
Yeah,
whether it was for alcohol, whether it was for cars, whatever it was, there's some adverts that are really good. Like Guinness adverts are always amazing.
Yeah, 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 definitely.
Or were always amazing.
Some adverts are definitely great. And some great people have done adverts, you know, like Martin Scorsese and other directors and stuff.
Yes, Spike Lee.
Yeah. So, you know, it has its place. And I'm quite happy to sort of make fun of it when I see fit and just generally be a bit pissed off. But I can imagine also that it'll be hard for the world to go around to an extent without all this stuff being there. You just need to be able to... You need to be able to sort of be critical about what you see and read as usual, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we need to hold on there. We need to stop there, in fact.
All right.
So thank you very much, listeners. Thank you, Paul, for being on the podcast again.
Yes, good one. Advertising.
Advertising sales. Shit. Yeah.
Yeah, mate.
Do you want to do any advertising?
Yeah,
on the
come
podcast?
And see the show, people.
Act now to avoid disappointments.
Act now to avoid. That's what we often do in comedy. It's like, oh, there's only a few tickets left. Buy now, and there's loads of tickets.
Come to
left.
See Paul Taylor's authentic new comedy show.
Get your tickets now before they run out.
Go and see some classic English stand-up comedy in a very convenient, comfortable theatre space. This
get your premium prestige quality seats.
This deluxe designer-made show has been specifically put together in order to make audiences of people laugh. So just come to the show. All right. It'll be funny.
All right, mate.
What are the details of the new show?
The details of the new show. The show is called So British, ou presque.
Which is like So British, almost.
Yeah. Because I talk about my life in France still and the fact that I've been here for 10 years and I feel less British than I used to.
And the fact you've failed citizenship tests.
I haven't talked about that. That's in my list, but I still did. I didn't manage
you
to
get
do
there.
That.
You'll get there.
I'll get there. It's a show that's in both languages still because that worked as a marketing tool for the first one.
Yeah.
It was so unique that people were like, oh, I've got to see this. So I was like, fuck it, I'll do it again.
Yeah.
It's for now it's in Paris, October to December. On tour
where
in a place called The Flow, but no one's in Paris that you listen
some
to.
some of them are
it's true.
There's a couple of them.
It's true. Chris Benitez makes his way over to the show.
There's more. There are more Lepsters in Paris than you might think.
Okay, everyone
quite
in Paris
ninja-y.
Come and see the show at The Flow. It's a boat next to Alexander III Bridge, so proper tourist central. It's Friday, Saturday, Sundays. Details on my website.
Starting in October.
Starting mid-October to December. And then in January, well, next year is basically the tour. So France and international. So I'll be coming to a country or a city near you where there's some French speakers. So mainly the big cities across the world. So London, definitely. New York, LA, Chicago, the US, some cities in Canada, Shanghai, Hong Kong, Dubai.
You're going to go to Russia?
No. There's no plans for Russia yet.
Okay.
Because I don't know that there's many French people in Russia.
Not sure.
But if there's enough French people in Russia, let me know. Send me emails and we'll see what we can do.
What about South America? You're going to go to Brazil?
No, not yet. But that's a big country. But I don't know if we'll have the time. But that will be on the list at some stage to
Japan?
Get down there. Japan, yes, Tokyo.
Yeah, really?
Probably. Well, yeah, I'd like to go. Nothing's booked because we're currently calling up all the people to book them. But yeah, Tokyo, Bangkok, Singapore.
Spain?
Yeah, Madrid, Barcelona.
Nice. Turkey?
No.
Not many French people there, I suppose.
There might be, but it's not. Basically, I looked up the top 10 or the top cities where French people, expats are, mm-hmm. and just went through that.
Poland?
No.
Any no French people there?
There might be, but okay. not enough maybe that would come and see the show.
Go to paultaylorcomedy.com for all the information, folks. And thanks again for listening to another episode of Luke's English Podcast. It's now time to hand over to the Drive Time Show with Paul Taylor. So what do you got in store for us today, Paul?
Thanks, Luke. Thanks very much. Today, welcome to the Drive Time Show. On the show today, lots of great music, new sounds from Coldplay and Adele making a comeback. But before, over to the news.
Well, in a minute, before we go to the news, we need to just go straight to a piece of music, do we? No? I was trying to get the music in there in time to be able to do this. But I need to find like a good...
news coming up in 5 minutes. So before that, we'll have a traffic info. But just before the traffic info, time to hear a new song.
And this is The Police with Every Breath You Take. I'd love to be a Drive Time radio DJ.
You'd do it really well as well.
I would absolutely love to do that. Paul, thanks again for coming on the show.
Cheers, mate.
And we'll have you and Amber back soon. All right.
All right. See you later.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
So that was Sales and Advertising with Paul. As usual, let me know your thoughts relating to this episode. Here are some questions that you could consider. So what do you think of sales and advertising? Do you work in sales? Have you noticed any particular techniques or use of language that helps you sell things? What do you think of adverts on TV or the way that things are promoted to you on the internet? How do you feel about clickbait? Do you ever click on those articles? Do you think graffiti is okay in public places? How is that different to advertising in the sense that we don't get any choice over what is displayed to us in public? What about drawing graffiti on advertising that's in public spaces? The subject of sales, advertising and marketing is a big one, and I expect to come back to it on the podcast at some point because there's loads of things that we could do with that. Business English is always something that I've saved and never done on the podcast. I was always planning to do a separate Business English podcast or a Business English course, but without calling it a Business English course because people don't seem to like the word business. It sounds all heavy and dark, like the dark side or the Death Star or something, you know, like kind of like Business English, you know, that sort of atmosphere. But English in professional situations is really interesting. And I'm talking about things like how we negotiate, how we deal with being diplomatic in meetings, how we do presentations and socialize with people. I was actually working on a Business English course and have loads of unfinished material for it. I must go back to that. But in the meantime, I might dip into some more businessy subjects in the future. We will see. But let me know about your interest in business English and if you'd like to learn the ways of the dark side and fulfill your destiny and all that stuff. But for now, it's pretty much time for the end of the episode. Thank you for listening, as usual. If the spirit moves you, you could leave me a lovely, lovely review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Getting positive reviews helps to promote my podcast on those platforms. It's more likely to end up in the recommended selections and things like that. So it helps the podcast a great deal. Otherwise, you can always donate with one of the yellow PayPal buttons. You can sign up to LEP Premium at teacherluke.co.uk/premium and check out my sponsors, italki at teacherluke.co.uk/talk. You've been listening to Luke's English Podcast, and until next time, goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hmm.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.